This episode of Ask Theory was made possible by the British Council Philippines. For more information on the 2024 Women in STEM Scholarships, please visit www.britishcouncil.ph/study-uk/women-in-STEM. The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. So today, we're going to be talking about a topic that I think is relevant, lalo na summer na, maraming mga outing, maraming mga paglabas with our barkada, and marami tayong mga tinatry na iba-ibang mga, for people who drink socially or want to try new things. Siguro itong episode na to is both informative and also a reminder na ingat-ingat tayo. But let's get started. Gusto kong makilala nyo si Dr. Chen Lim. She's from MSF, but I will let her introduce herself. Magandang araw po, Dr. Chen, and welcome to the Ask Theory podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. So I'm Chen Ann Lim, or you can just call me Chen Lim. I'm actually a medical doctor by profession. I did a specialty training in pediatrics, and I also did a clinical research fellowship on toxicology in also University Hospital. And one of the topics that I covered was the methanol poisoning. So this is basically me before I worked with MSF. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting yung topic na to. But I think also equally interesting is how you got to work with MSF in the first place. So tell us a little bit about your journey as someone practicing in the medical field and sort of like how you got to work with MSF and the work that you do with MSF right now.
So basically, I've been working with MSF for the past 12 years. It's been a long time, actually. I've been through, the reason why I started with MSF, I think it's more of idealism on being a doctor, you know, like, you know, when the people hear that you're working with Doctors Without Borders, they would actually say like, you're being sent to, you know, wherever, you know, in the war, star zone and everything like that. But it's not just the work that actually Doctors Without Borders or MSF or Medicine Sans Frontières actually do. So for me, for example, when I started with my career with MSF, I started as a normal pediatrician. I work in the pediatric ICU that MSF was running. So I've been now to, like, I think more than 10 countries all over the world working on different, actually, thematics or what we call subject matter that is very relevant to not just public health, but also to the health of the individual. And this is what is good about MSF as an organization, is that we don't only focus on the morbidity or the disease of a patient, but we really tackle a lot the holistic approach to patient care. So, for example, for me now, since I've been working with MSF for the past 12 years, my role changed a little bit. I'm now more on the coordinator position. So that means I'm now managing different projects in a country for MSF. So for the past 4 years, I've been assigned to the Middle East. So I've worked around Syria, Iraq, I've been to Turkey, and recently I've been to Yemen. So this is basically that one. I've been also working for MSF here in the Philippines. So I remember the first emergency response I did for MSF here in the Philippines was for Typhoon Yolanda. Uh-huh. So that's really basically, a very big learning experience for me, because it was also after my first out of the country mission with them in Sierra Leone. So I came back, they called me because there was the Typhoon Yolanda. So I was assigned as a outreach doctor. So I went to the different provinces in and around Eastern Samar. And recently during Typhoon Odette, I was able to also work with MSF as the emergency emergency lead to the response in Dinagat as well as in the outlying island of Surigao.
Wow, you've been quite busy.
Yes, it's been a bit of a busy year for MSF. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd imagine, you know, na talagang dealing with all of these different public health concerns and under-addressed diseases or problems here in the Philippines, talagang it really, I would imagine it really takes a lot of traveling and a lot of communicating and, you know, personal experiences with patients. I'm curious about, in particular, about a specific condition, methanol poisoning, which some of our listeners might have heard about or might have encountered but aren't really familiar with. So can you talk to us a little bit about the basics of methanol poisoning? And from the name itself, it's a bit scary, but why is it so dangerous exactly?
So just to be sure that we have to differentiate a little bit about what methanol poisoning is versus what we call alcohol intoxication, because that's very totally different. When you say you're poisoned, that means you were actually intentionally, or it's accidental. You know, people are unaware that they drank something, as opposed to becoming what you call alcohol intoxication, because this is a bit like you drink because you want to, and you know we don't judge you for this one because you know people cope very differently with things. You know, I drink, people drink. It's just that we need to make sure that we drink in moderation. But this is what I wanted to emphasize here, is that alcohol intoxication is very different from methanol poisoning. Poisoning means you're poisoned. That means a businessman or somebody that produces alcohol intentionally put a poison product in their product, because that's the most common source of methanol poisoning. It's all of those bootleg or unregulated alcohol that you buy in the market or in a commercial establishment. That's the reason why you get poisoned, and it is a disease. It's not like you can judge a person just because they got poisoned and it's methanol. You know, it's some kind of alcohol, and this is what is quite important, because you know now methanol, you can find it in your daily things in your household. For example, you can find it in brake fluid, you can find it in paint thinner, you can find it in paint, you can find it in fragrances, because all of this, they have methanol content, but the content of methanol in it is so small that it doesn't actually poison you, because it's an additive. Methanol is an additive. It's an additive that is odorless, it's tasteless, it's look like water. So that's why, but because of this characteristic of methanol, quite a lot of people add it to things. And if you add more of it, that's where you get poison. And methanol, a pure quantity of methanol, a small amount of it can actually kill you. So like 15 ml of pure methanol can actually kill a person. That's why it is very, very, it's very, very dangerous. So as I said, we have to be very, very careful, because methanol as a product, if it's added in a small quantity, it's okay. Because as I said, you can find it in almost all of the household product. It's a lot of things. You can find it everywhere, like in the aircon, antifreeze, you know, you can find it everywhere. But if you intentionally put it in a liquor drink that you drink, this is where it becomes toxic to the body. Yeah. So as I said, because there are times now, like people are actually asking me, is it only found in alcoholic beverages? No, sometimes now, one of the outbreaks that they have in Russia, it was actually put in body lotion, for example.
Wow.
And this is intentional, you know, because people want to make profit out of it. You know, so sometimes they put it, for example, in hand sanitizers. So this is what happened in one of the countries. I think it was in Czechoslovakia, if I'm not mistaken. So this is basically more on unscrupulous businessmen that wanted to have more profit. So that's why they added. Yeah. One of the things that is also being asked is that, you know, methanol, it's usually produced naturally in wood, because that's why it's called wood alcohol before, right?
Yeah.
So that's why when you distill alcohol, in a barrel, they will tell you, oh, maybe I got it from this one. But one of the things that you have to understand is that when you distill in a barrel or even wooden barrel, the methanol that you produce is actually not enough to actually poison you, you know? And that's why it's still safe. And it's the best, that's what they said, you know, it's the best, the way that you age alcohol is to actually ferment it in a barrel, right? In woods, because
Yeah.
that's where you get the taste of it. So, yeah, but the amount of methanol that you actually keep being produced in that wood, in the wood barrel or anything, that is not going to be dangerous if it's the only thing that matters is that it's really an additive. If you add it intentionally to the alcohol that you consume, that's where it becomes toxic, or in any household product. So just make sure that, you know, you buy from a regulated manufacturer. Yeah.
You know, I was actually going to ask you about that because I do remember parang isang matunog, a few na matunog na kaso of a methanol poisoning in the Philippines some years back. Some people might not even remember this because of everything that has happened ever since. But there was a big uproar about it. I'm not gonna name the brands anymore, but for people who do remember, they are aware of this issue. And I was going to ask you why an entrepreneur or manufacturers would add something so dangerous, but you did explain, no, that it's sadly it's profit driven. So
Yeah,
parang
yeah, but because also you will not see it, you will not taste it.
Okay.
Yeah, because as I said, methanol is tasteless, it's odorless, it's like water, and that's the reason why if you accidentally ingest your methanol, like even 15 ml of it, 15 to 30 ml, it can actually kill you. That's and it's like. Because it's like it's not like if you add water in oil, you can see the, you know, there's a change, right? For methanol, if you add it in normal ethanol, you will not see any difference. It's like if I have 50 ml of ethanol and I add 50 ml of methanol, it will look the same.
The
It will,
same.
yeah, it will smell the same, it will taste the same. There's no change at all. Yeah.
Would you say that this problem is a serious problem in the Philippines? Is it how serious is the problem of methanol poisoning here in the country?
In the Philippines, it's quite endemic in a sense that we have a very, very, we have producer of, you know, the locally brewed methanol. And this is the reason why, you know, there was this poisoning outbreak that happened in 2019, is that, you know, they added more methanol to the batch of alcohol that they produced. You see it almost, I think, probably once every month. In the Philippines, it's quite endemic in the country. If you look at it, for example, in Region 4A and 4B in the Maropa region, there you will see quite a bit more of cases, because also there's quite a lot of producers of Lambanog in the area. I'm not saying that all of the producers are, you know,
Yeah.
unscrupulous, but, you know, it does happen, you know, quite here and there in the country. Yeah.
Yun, thank you for clarifying that. And I do want our listeners to know na we're not saying that all of these products are bad. Hindi yun yung point nitong discussion na to. What we are saying is there are reasons why regulations and procedures, manufacturing procedures are in place, and there are reasons why you should choose to purchase your products from authorized people with the right permits and who will follow the right processes. So it's not
Yes.
to say na all lambanog is bad or wag kayong magtry ng mga drinks. It's just being a bit more careful and meticulous about the things that you buy and consume.
Yes, and make sure that you actually also get it from, you know, like a good establishment. You know, you just, I mean, I know that in areas you probably will drink, you know, in the barangays or something like that, but make sure that you buy it in the people that you really trust.
Yeah.
Because I think this is quite what is more important. Yeah.
Uh-oh. So magandang maalala natin yan because also drinking, as nabanggit ni Doc Chen kanina, it's done for different reasons, and you know, for Filipinos in particular, it's part of culture. It's part of culture natin talaga na pag may celebration, may outing, may event, and we run the risk of communicating this message the wrong way, na baka ma-offend natin yung people that we care about simply because they want to spend some quality time with us. Bonding
Yeah.
over these drinks. So just so for our listeners, keep that in mind when you're dealing with with something like this. And I brought up the topic of communicating this because I wanted to ask Doc Chen about how Philippine media talks about methanol poisoning. Ano po yung na-observe nyo with the way Philippine media practitioners talk about and cover stories involving methanol poisoning in the country?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think there was not a lot of media coverage unless there's really a very big outbreak of it. And I think this is why quite a lot of people actually forget about the topic in itself. But just for you to know, and I think I also said it to quite a lot of my friends, it's actually only the Philippines that actually coined that we have like a colloquial term, Jean Bulag. If I don't know if you, yeah.
I've heard
Jean
of that.
Bulag, yeah. So Jean Bulag actually depicts really what methanol poisoning is, because it is one of the most common symptoms of methanol poisoning is that you get blinded if you drink quite a lot. And it's only the Philippines that actually coined this term very, very perfectly. No other countries around the world actually has this term, except for the Philippines. And I think for us to just be reminded, because the reason why the Jean Bulag was actually coined before was because there was also a very big outbreak during the time. And it's because of this very, very popular gin that we're still drinking now. We're not saying again that it's anyone's fault, but it's just to be sure that yes, because we coined this topic very, very perfect because we know that it's happening in the country. And not a lot of people are actually covering this because people tend to forget, you know? People tend to forget unless it becomes so nationalized, like it's become like, oh yes, this few people get poisoned, you know, you have a high profile case that becomes like gets poisoned, that's why it becomes again an issue. But then if you look at it in hospital records, for example, you will know that it is a disease that's happening. It's not just, as I said, just from drinking. Sometimes you get it from other sources, you know, but we just don't put so much emphasis on it. And that's why, you know, when you don't talk about it, people also tend to forget about it, you know. And that's a bit sad because this topic is, like, as you said, very, very important in the Philippine culture because we love to drink. And I think the message that we wanted to pass on is that, you know, drinking moderately is okay. You know, as I said, it's not like you're here to tell people you're not allowed to drink or drinking is bad. No, it's okay. You drink in moderation, but you also have to make sure that you drink in and get your product from a source that you trust. This is basically the message that we wanted to pass on. Yeah.
And you brought up, that's something new I learned. That's a you, and it's kind of sad because I hear that term being like tossed around casually, like in pop culture, in various shows and movies. It's when you hear that, it's typically followed by a punchline or a joke about drinking, and it's I'd say normalized, but it's it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. It's a bit sad because there's already prejudgment to people. You know, like when you drink so much, you get blinded, but that they don't know that it's because you get poisoned, and it's not a punishment from any higher being.
Yeah, for drinking
just
too
because
much.
You're drinking, yes. And I can, because here in the Philippines, because of also of our, you know, the religious belief that we have, the culture, it's a little bit more difficult for us to talk about it. And that's why it's a bit sad, because we already prejudge people because, yeah, it's your fault because you drink too much. And I think we should shy away from giving this information out to people.
Yeah, navigating how to communicate that message without sort of like disregarding the value of culture. It's kind of like a tricky, it's a tightrope walk. And
yes.
Yeah, and it's linked to the bigger discussion, I think, of alcohol consumption, which is something I'd like to ask you about. Because over the years, over the decades, even before I was born, like the messaging about alcohol consumption and alcohol overconsumption has been consistent. Like there's research, health risks, diseases, risk of death, etc. People are very much aware that there are far more cons than pros when it comes to drinking, but people still enjoy it a lot. And like we clarified, we're not demonizing it, even to the point where they just drink as much as they want. They don't really think of the consequences anymore, even though they are aware of it. Any thoughts that you can share about that behavior or that thought process that we have, or that attitude that we have towards drinking in general?
I mean, as I said, we're not here to judge anybody. I mean, you know, like, I think anything you do in moderation should be okay. You know, it's like people know like smoking is bad for you, but still people smoke, right? I mean, it's not like you judge people just because they smoke. I think anything that you do in excess of something, that is going to be bad. Because, I mean, alcohol in itself is really not super bad for you, because there's also good things that, you know, like they say, you know, one glass of wine is very, very good, because it's actually good for your blood, you know, your vascular system and something like that. But anything that you do in excess, that is also where, you know, it becomes bad, because then you become inebriated, you lose the proper sense of judgment. And I think this is where it becomes not good. And I think this is where a little bit on, you know, I mean, you cannot judge people if you wanted to experiment how much is your tolerance level, how much is, you know. And I think this has always been a case of, yes, I can drink as much as I can because I don't know what my tolerance level is. But then, yes, I mean, once in a while, if you wanted to just test your tolerance, just don't do anything after, you know, like, okay, if you're really inebriated, just lie down and then that's it, you know. I just wanted to make clear that, you know, methanol as an alcohol is not, doesn't make you drunk. Okay. That is very, very different from ethanol and isopropyl alcohol, because there are different spectrum of alcohol. Methanol is just one. And methanol is that alcohol that will not make you drunk. The only thing that will make you drunk actually is you put methanol in ethanol. And that's the very, very different. And the level of inebriation that you have from a normal alcohol intoxication as compared to when you get poisoned is also very different. Because in a normal alcohol intoxication, for example, you will only get inebriated after like 12 hours and then you're fine. You know, like, for example, if you and I drink and our tolerance level, we reach it, you know, and we get drunk, you know, you pass out. In the morning, when you wake up, you'll be okay, right? Because you said, okay, I'm hungover, this is me, I just have a headache and something like this. But for methanol, the length of inebriation that you have is actually longer. It's also because the time that you actually excrete methanol in your body, this is also where your ethanol, because the antidote of methanol, as you might have know, is ethanol, right? So this is where the time that it actually how it reaches the point wherein you excrete first all the ethanol in your body, and this is where methanol will actually start to poison you. That's why you will actually get the symptoms after 24 hours, you know. So for example, if you drink now and then after 24 48 hours you still feel sick, you know, you still have abdominal pain, you still have vomiting, you still have, you know, headache. This is not where you get suspicious that, okay, this is probably methanol now, and it's not just ethanol, you know? Because as I said, ethanol, your level of inebriation is very short-lived as compared to methanol in itself, because, you know, you wait for your body to remove all the ethanol, and then this is where all the methanol now, it actually destroy your system. That's why usually when we ask people if you get poisoned, it's because, you know, they have the symptoms even after 24 hours. They feel really sick. You know, sometimes they have blurring of vision. This is a telltale sign that you get poisoned. And as I said, for the drinking, yes, it's do everything in moderation. This is the only thing that I can actually say, because you can also get addicted, you know, to alcohol. And it's a bit of a different disease, because that's more alcoholism. And the alcohol addiction is quite different, because it's not you being poisoned. It's you trying to poison your body in itself because of your addiction to alcohol.
And yeah, it's good that you mentioned some of the signs, you know, that you might be experiencing, or a person might be experiencing methanol poisoning. So at least our listeners will know. Syempre, we hope na hindi umabot sa ganun, but you know, they'll know if okay, this might be something else now. But and you did mention some ways we could avoid methanol poisoning, or maybe the most crucial way to avoid methanol poisoning, which is to be careful about what we consume. But what's some general advice that you can share with us about preventing or avoiding methanol poisoning? And maybe another important thing to answer is, what should we do? What's the best, how should we treat the emergency in case it happens to us or to someone that we know?
Yeah, I think for me, and just be meticulous, I think, in checking all of the products that you consume. As I said, make sure that, you know, it's from a regulated company. You have to make sure that you have the Food and Drug Administration, FDA's, you know, a seal of approval and everything like that. I think this is one of the most important things, and make sure that, you know, if you ask for cocktails, for example, the alcoholic cocktails, or, you know, the drinks that people make, make sure that it's a bar or it's a restaurant that you really trust, because I think this is also quite important. In case, as I said, methanol, if you have a friend, for example, that still are hungover after 24, you know, more than 24 hours, I think this is really a high likelihood. Or if they tell you, like, yes, I feel like I cannot see, or I have blurring of my vision, this is a telltale sign that they get methanol poisoning. And usually, I mean, as I said, the antidote for methanol poisoning is, of course, alcohol, right? It's like, you know, either you give them, yeah, a beer, or you give them vodka to counter affect the methanol in their body, or you go to the nearest hospital. I mean, I think this is the best thing option. Yes, you know, just because you don't also know if what the source is when you're drinking, you know, because you might say, like, okay, let's buy another batch, but you don't know if this batch is also tainted, because yeah. You know, you're already poisoned with methanol, and it's very, very difficult now to pinpoint the source when you're drinking. So that's the reason why when there is an outbreak for methanol, it's from an alcoholic beverages or something like that, that we really quarantine all of the alcohol, that the batch of that one, just to be sure that, you know, you test it also for the methanol level. So the best thing is really to just go immediately to the hospital and seek for treatment.
Wow. Yeah. So this was very informative. I think I really hope that anyone listening to this podcast will be more careful moving forward about the not just the alcohol, but all of the things that they consume or keep around the household, no? Be more careful about possibly getting poisoning themselves.
Yes.
If they wanted to know a little more about this topic, what would be the best ways to contact you or to reach out to you?
Well, we have the comms address, I think. Reg, we can give the email of our communications officer here in the Philippines. Regina will be able to send us any of the questions that you might have on methanol poisoning. And also, if it's something that you really feel like is very necessary, we can also have some awareness session in schools, for example, or even in hospital health facilities, that if you feel like it's really relevant, they can reach out to us. And we can give some awareness sessions to the people.
All right. We will add that information to the description of the podcast. So anyone who wants to have, for example, yun nga, an information session, maybe at their school or office or whatever, where they can be more aware about this topic, you can reach out through the contact information that we'll be putting in the description of this episode. Now, I'm very grateful that you made the time to be here on the show, because I always enjoy talking to experts and scientists. I enjoy learning new things, and our listeners, I'm sure, enjoy that too. But that's what's one maybe parting message or final message that you want them to remember after listening to you talk about this topic here on the podcast?
Yeah. I think one of the things that IDT wanted to emphasize to a lot of people is that let's not judge people who actually drink, and especially if they get poisoned, because I think this is one of the things that is really quite important, is that because this is also where people will be now be ashamed to tell you how they're feeling or what the symptoms they have because of the prejudgment that they will also receive. I think one of the things that I also wanted to ensure to tell everybody is that make sure that we are very meticulous in everything that we used, because for methanol poisoning, the poisoning, it's not just when you, as I said, you do drink it. Sometimes it can be, or you can be poisoned when for example, if they put it in body lotion, so you can also get poisoned by, in the skin, by absorption in the skin. So we have to be very meticulous, especially in the products that contains methanol. So that's as I said, the paint thinner that you have in the houses, the perfume. So yeah, make sure that you keep it out of reach for from your kids, just so you also avoid accidental ingestions. So, yeah, so I think this is just one of the parting words that I wanted to give to people.
All right. Thank you very much for being here on the show and for sharing your expertise and your knowledge and experiences regarding this very important topic. And I hope that you'll be open to being on the podcast again to talk about other health
Yes.
issues here in the
Sure.
Philippines.
Yeah, sure. No problem. You can invite us anytime. Thanks so much for the opportunity, and I hope that your listeners will be able to learn something also from this podcast that we did.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Stay curious.